Great. Do find one of the church Bibles. There should be plenty around on the seats next to you. Church Bibles, we're on page 269. Page 269. We're going for Ruth 3. It's page 269. One day, Ruth's mother-in-law, Naomi, said to her, "My daughter, I must find a home for you, where you will be well provided for. Now Boaz, with whose women you have worked, is a relative of ours. Tonight he will be winnowing barley on the threshing floor. Wash, put on perfume, and get dressed in your best clothes. Then go down to the threshing floor, but don't let him know you are there until he has finished eating and drinking. When he lies down, note the place where he is lying. Then go and uncover his feet and lie down. He will tell you what to do." "I will do whatever you say," Ruth answered. So she went down to the threshing floor and did everything her mother-in-law told her to do. When Boaz had finished eating and drinking and was in good spirits, he went over to lie down at the far end of the grain pile. Ruth approached quietly, uncovered his feet and lay down. In the middle of the night, something startled the man. He turned. There was a woman lying at his feet. "Who are you?" he asked. "I'm your servant Ruth," she said. "Spread the corner of your garment over me, since you are a guardian redeemer of our family." "The Lord bless you, my daughter," he replied. "This kindness is greater than that which you showed earlier. You have not run after the young men, whether rich or poor. And now, my daughter, don't be afraid. I will do for you all you ask. All the people of my town know that you are a woman of noble character. Although it is true that I am a guardian redeemer of our family, there is another who is more closely related than I. Stay here for the night. And in the morning, if he wants to do his duty as your guardian redeemer, good, let him redeem you. But if he is not willing, as surely as the Lord lives, I will do it. Lie here until morning." So she lay at his feet until morning, but got up before anyone could be recognized. And he said, "No one must know that a woman came to the threshing floor." He also said, "Bring me the shawl you are wearing and hold it out." When she did so, he poured into it 6 measures of barley and placed the bundle on her. Then he went back to town. When Ruth came to her mother-in-law, Naomi asked, "How did it go, my daughter?" Then she told her everything Boaz had done for her, and added, "He gave me these 6 measures of barley, saying, 'Don't go back to your mother-in-law empty-handed.'" Then Naomi said, "Wait, my daughter, until you find out what happens, for the man will not rest until the matter is settled today."
Great, thank you, Ed. Let me pray briefly, just a brief prayer from the Psalms. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. What does it mean to have faith? Many today think having faith means believing something when you have no real reason to do so. British tennis fans might have little reason to expect much success these days, but you know, you've got to have faith, that kind of thing. And Christians are sometimes seen as being rather like that, believing in God despite the evidence. But that is not at all what the Bible means by faith. In the Bible, faith has a definite object, a person. A Christian is someone who has faith in the person of Jesus Christ. I'm sure you would agree. But what does it really mean to have faith in Jesus? We quite often say that faith means trust, which it does, but what does it actually look like to trust in Jesus? And what would it mean for you to trust Jesus at the moment in your life? Well, today we're going to find some answers to those questions in the third chapter of this little book of Ruth. We're in the second half of the story now, which describes events that don't take place on the main stage of Israel's history. No kings or enemies or battles here. It's just the stuff of ordinary life, work, marriage, bereavement, survival. And yet this story is a gem, as I'm sure you've seen so far, in which we see the sort of reflected glory of the gospel. And this week we're going to learn from Ruth what it means to respond to the gospel. We're going to think about, what does it mean to have faith in Jesus Christ? The structure of the chapter is a bit like chapter 2. So at the start, Ruth is with Naomi, and then in the middle bit, she's with Boaz, and at the end, she comes back to Naomi. But the atmosphere in chapter 3 is different. Whereas in chapter 2, Boaz and Ruth meet outside, in the day, in public, amongst the harvesters. In chapter 3, their meeting is at night, and it's hidden and private, which sort of intensifies the atmosphere. And as we focus again on these two people, there's also a shift of emphasis. So chapter 2 was much more focused on Boaz, who you remember last time, he's the sort of redeemer figure. We discover he's a relative of Naomi's and that he's a man of standing, combining his wealth and his good character. And throughout the chapter, we see his grace and his kindness to Ruth, his protection, his abundant provision for this Moabite foreigner who's come home with Naomi. But this time, chapter 3, the emphasis is much more on Ruth, as we see her exercising faith, trust in Boaz, the Redeemer. And as we watch her, we learn what it means for us to believe in our Redeemer, what's really involved in trusting him. So Ruth here gives us a little portrait of faith. And as we go through the story, we're going to pick out some features. There are six features. Here we go. First, faith is deliberate. It's deliberate. So as we return to the story, we remember that although Ruth has been given permission to glean safely in the fields of Boaz, it's never going to provide for her permanently. So, verse 1, Naomi says to her, "My daughter, I must find a home for you where you'll be provided for." She wants to find her a home, a husband. So she suggests a plan, verse 2. "Now, Boaz, with whose women you've worked, is a relative of ours." Now, remember, that means he's not only is he related, he actually has some sort of obligation to Ruth. Okay? More about that to come. And here's the plan. "Tonight, he'll be winnowing barley on the threshing floor. Wash, put on perfume, get dressed in your best clothes. Go to the threshing floor. Don't let him know you're there till he's finished eating and drinking. And when he lies down, note the place where he's lying. Then go and uncover his feet and lie down. He will tell you what to do." There's the plan. It's a daring plan. There's no avoiding the sort of sensuality of Ruth going to Boaz, washed, perfumed in her best clothes, hiding in the shadows, waiting next to him. But as we'll see, she's not looking to seduce him inappropriately. She's actually dressed as a bride might dress. We'll see the point of her uncovering his feet in a moment. But nevertheless, the atmosphere is kind of charged with risk, isn't it? And this is Naomi's plan, and Ruth agrees, verse 5 and 6, "Do whatever you say." And so she went off and did everything that Naomi had told her to do. Here's the first aspect of faith. Faith is deliberate. That is, faith very often involves doing something, not just passively waiting for something to happen. And sometimes people speak of faith as something you either have or you don't. So if I'm going to trust in Jesus, then, well, God's going to have to change me, give me faith. Which may be true, but that doesn't mean we do nothing. We're to reach out to him. We're to cry out to him to change us. And that's important. So faith in the Bible is a gift from God, but from our point of view, we're called to respond. So maybe you're someone who's heard the gospel message many times. You can tell it's important, but you're kind of waiting for something to happen. And you think, no change yet. Can I suggest you might need to do something? Have you tried praying? "God, if you're there, please help me. Open my eyes." Or maybe you are a Christian, but you kind of feel stuck in some way. Maybe you feel no progress, no joy, no growth. Are you just sitting there waiting for something to happen? Faith is deliberate, intentional. So start by praying about it. Then talk to someone who can give you wisdom, advice, pray for you, support you. Okay, first thing, faith is deliberate. Second, faith is vulnerable. We see that here. What Ruth does is very risky. If few years ago, I visited, we have mission partners in Cape Town. I remember Debbie, the wife, saying she would never go out after dark. And if you've ever lived in a sort of somewhat dangerous place, you'll know that's a rule of thumb, isn't it? Well, Ruth lived at a very dangerous time. It's the time of the judges, terrible time. Yet she goes out alone, after dark, during harvest, when the men are drinking after a day's work. Why? Because she's putting all of her hope in her Redeemer, because she sees that he alone can help her. Now, of course, this isn't saying we should put ourselves at physical risk, but Ruth does challenge us. Putting our faith in Jesus may involve stepping out of our comfort zone, making ourselves vulnerable in human terms. So is that something we're willing to do? Are you willing to risk not being accepted by others, whether it's at school or at the school gate or in the workplace? Are you willing to risk the disapproval of others, even your family? That's a choice that some people have to make today. Are you willing to risk a less good performance review at work, a lower salary even, because you will not make work your number one? Now, why would someone make those kinds of choices? Because they know that the love and acceptance of Jesus is worth everything. So faith is vulnerable. Faith is vulnerable. Next, faith is personal. And that is to notice that at the heart of the action in this chapter, it's just between Ruth and Boaz, between one person and her Redeemer. As she goes to Boaz after he's finished eating and drinking and he's lying down, and Ruth approaches him, uncovers his feet, lies down. Previously, we've seen how Boaz amazingly provides for Ruth and gives her grace and blessing. But all of that is in public, in the open, others around. But here, it's just Ruth and Boaz. She's on her own. It's at night, lying beside him. It's very intimate, isn't it? And personal. And as such, it's a pointer to us that although through Jesus, God is saving a people, and to be a Christian always means being a part of his people, we're nevertheless called to put our faith in him personally. At home, just recently, we've been reading a sort of version of Pilgrim's Progress, John Bunyan. And in that book, he pictures Christian going through a wicket gate, a narrow door that only allows through one person at a time. Well, so we must come. Bunyan's saying we must come to Christ as individuals, one person at a time, before we are joined to his people. So I need to ask you, have you done that? Have you come to Jesus, asking him to be your saviour? And if you do know him, are you still coming on your own before him in prayer, seeking his forgiveness, asking for his grace and help? Do you have a time when it's just you and him? We all need that. Faith is personal. Next, faith is grounded in God's covenant promises. It's grounded in God's covenant promises. And here, this is the kind of the meat, the heart of the chapter and the book, really. If you are married here, I'm sure that you remember the circumstances around the proposal of marriage. I hope you do, anyway. Maybe you were in an exotic location, watching the sunset. Maybe it was a bit less exotic, watching the football, maybe. But whatever happened, I bet it was nothing like what happened here, as Boaz, in the middle of the night, is so startled, wakes up and finds a woman lying at his feet. "Who are you?" he asked. Verse 9, "I'm your servant Ruth," she said. "Spread the corner of your garment over me, since you are a guardian redeemer of our family." And we think, that's all pretty weird. And so we need to understand. She is inviting him to marry her. That's what's going on. In Ezekiel 16, God used this language as he spoke about his commitment to his people. This is what he said. "I spread the corner of my garment over you and covered your naked body. I gave you my solemn oath and entered into a covenant with you and you became mine. Yeah, that covenant language. Ruth is saying, make a covenant with me. But she's also saying more than that. She is making a claim on him as a guardian redeemer, as it says. And by doing that, she is putting her faith in the God of Israel to whom she has come. Now, this background may be unfamiliar to us, so let me explain. When God saved his people Israel, he promised to bless them. But in his laws, he also made provision for them to be blessed when they were going through hard times, terrible times, by means of a redeemer. So if someone was in great need, then a close family member was expected to volunteer to help to become that person's redeemer. So if you had been wronged, then the redeemer might seek justice for you. If you were in debt and had to sell yourself into slavery to pay the debt, the redeemer would pay to set you free. And if your family's property or land was lost for some reason, and land, remember, is a symbol of God's blessing, then the redeemer would regain it for the family. Well, as a close relative of Naomi's, Boaz is a redeemer, and he's in a position to marry Ruth and to raise up through her an heir to continue the family line of Elimelech, Naomi's husband, who died, and then Mahlon, Ruth's own husband, who died. So here, Ruth, she's trusting in all of that stuff, in God's provision, as she makes a claim on Boaz. She's saying, you're a redeemer for my family. Now fulfill your commitment to me. Be a redeemer to me. And so she's showing us how faith is grounded on God's promises. And that is the kind of faith that we are called to as well, if we're believers. You see, faith isn't the sort of subjective ability to believe that some people have and some don't. Faith is grounded in something. It is the conscious decision to trust in what God has promised. Now, I know the Old Testament bit is strange and complicated, but actually, it's a principle we apply all the time. When somebody says to you, come to the station at 5 o'clock, and I'll be there, whether or not you go to the station shouldn't be dependent on whether you're the sort of person who believes stuff that people say to you, but on whether you trust the person who made the promise, yeah? Well, faith in Jesus is just the same. It's not focused on our capacity to believe, but on him, his character, and what he has promised. So consider some of the promises of Jesus. Come to me, he says, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. Surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age. Hear the promises of Jesus, the firm commitment he makes to his people, and be like Ruth. Hold him to those promises. Faith is grounded in his promises. And if we worry that he won't respond, we'll be encouraged by the next point, that faith is effective. It's effective. That is to say, the Redeemer will certainly respond to those who put their faith in him. Look at Boaz's response. Verse 10, the Lord bless you, my daughter, he replied. This kindness is greater than that which you showed earlier. You've not run after the younger men, whether rich or poor. It's likely with our sort of rose-tinted specs, we misread this. We think the greater kindness that Ruth is showing here is that she's willing to marry kind of old man Boaz instead of one of the strapping young men in the fields. She's being kind to him. But actually, we need to remember what the kindness was she showed earlier. It wasn't her kindness to Boaz. It was her kindness to Naomi. Remember chapter 2, verse 11, Boaz said he'd been told all about what she had done for Naomi, coming back with her from her land, leaving her father and mother and homeland, going with Naomi to a land she didn't know. Boaz had seen just that amazing care and loyalty and her kindness to Naomi. And in her words to him now, He sees there's an even greater kindness. She is willing to marry this older man, to raise up an heir for Elimelech, for Naomi's family. See, that's why Ruth hasn't pursued the younger men, because of her amazing loyalty to Naomi. She's going to become like a surrogate for Naomi to enable her family line to continue. See, this is one of the sort of surprises of the book. We think of this as a story of romantic love between Ruth and Boaz, but it isn't really. It's a story of the amazing covenant love that Ruth has for Naomi, and especially her loyalty to her family and to her God. Well, Boaz responds to that extraordinary kindness with words of great encouragement. Ruth has taken a huge risk. She's put all her hope in him. And he responds, verse 11, "And now, my daughter, don't be afraid. I will do for you all you ask. All my fellow townsmen know you're a woman of noble character." And we think, oh, these two are made for each other, aren't they? But isn't that just what Ruth needs to hear, what he says in verse 11? She's made herself very vulnerable. She's pinned all her hopes on him. She must have been terrified. But wonderfully, he says, "Don't be afraid. I will do it." And that's exactly what we find if we put our hope in Jesus, our Redeemer. Isn't it interesting in the Gospels how often people come to him in desperate need? What does he say? "Don't be afraid." And we can certainly trust that he will keep his promises to us. Which is a wonderful thing to know, isn't it? Because, we very often fail to keep our word because of our selfishness or because of our weakness. We're just unable to do what we want to do. But it's never like that with Jesus. He will do it. Hudson Taylor, great missionary to China, he said this: "There is a living God. He has spoken in the Bible. He means what he says and will do all he has promised." And so if you put your hope in Jesus and in his promises, don't be afraid. You can be quite certain he means what he said and he'll do all he has promised. Faith is effective. But, last point, faith often involves waiting. Boaz, he gives his assurance he'll do what Ruth has asked, but there's a twist. Verse 12. "Although it's true, my guardian redeemer of my family, there's another, more closely related than I. Stay here for the night, and in the morning, if he wants to do his duty as your guardian redeemer, good, let him redeem you. But if he's not willing, as surely as the Lord lives, I will do it. Lie here till morning." And we think, oh no, he's spoken too soon. This could all go wrong. Well, in the morning, Boaz sends Ruth home early to avoid scandal, but not before he's given her six great big measures of barley. And so at the end, Ruth again returns to Naomi, desperate to know how the plan worked. "How did it go, my daughter?" It's very interesting. Verse 16 skips over all the gossipy details, simply says she told her everything Boaz had done for her. But then one thing is emphasized in verse 17, as she added, "He gave me these six measures of barley, saying, 'Don't go back to your mother-in-law empty-handed.'" And we remember how Naomi returned to Bethlehem in chapter 1, saying, "The Lord has brought me back empty." And in those measures of barley, we see how the Lord is beginning to fill her life once again. But for now, we have to wait. As Naomi says herself, "Wait, my daughter, until you find out what happens. For the man will not rest until this matter is settled today." And so we're going to have to wait. 3 weeks, actually, to find out. To see if Ruth and Naomi's faith will indeed be rewarded. But that's true for us. We often have to wait. We've seen that faith is deliberate. It requires action. It's vulnerable. It puts aside other securities. It's personal. You need to respond individually. It's grounded in God's covenant commitment, in his promises. And we've been assured that faith like that is effective. The Lord will respond. But it will also involve waiting. Waiting for God to bring change in our lives. Waiting for God to answer our desperate prayers. waiting for him ultimately to return and take us home and put all things right. Maybe you are someone who is waiting on the Lord at the moment, and it feels like a really long time. Well, you can be sure that one day your Redeemer will deliver. Naomi says Boaz will not rest until he's delivered on his promise. And, well, you know he's going to come through for Ruth, don't you? But so too for us. While we wait, we can be sure that our Redeemer, Jesus Christ, means what he says and will do all he's promised. So we can wait on him. Let's pray he'd help us to do that.